From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President of China Xi Jinping backs virus inquiry as Europe eases out of lockdown. Active participation of people is expected by Indonesian government to fight against COVID-19. Now the news in detail. President China Xi Jinping stated on Monday that China supports an independent inquiry into the handling of the coronavirus pandemic after it is brought under control as Europe accelerated its reopenings with landmarks St. Peter's Basilica and the Acropolis in Athens welcoming visitors again. As quoted by AFP.com on May 18, after weeks dogged by allegations from the US and elsewhere that Beijing had covered up the virus origins, Xi insisted during the World Health Assembly that China has always had an open, transparent, and responsible attitude. More than 4.7 million people have tested positive and 315,270 killed by the disease since it emerged in Wuhan late last year. Russia offered a glimpse of hope as it reported that growth in new cases had been halted, and U.S. biotech firm Moderna reported positive interim results in the first clinical test of its vaccine against the new coronavirus. The World Health Organization on Monday kicked off its first ever virtual assembly, with countries calling for a joint response to the COVID-19 pandemic and for any vaccine to be a global public good. As quoted by AFP.com, countries are also calling for a reform of the UN health body to ensure it is better prepared to address future pandemics. The World Health Assembly, WHA, has been trimmed for the usual 3 weeks to just 2 days. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres opened the event, saying several nations had ignored the WHO recommendations. He warned in a video address that countries have followed different, sometimes contradictory, strategies and WHO is all paying a heavy price. The US has accused the World Health Organization, WHO, of allowing the COVID-19 outbreak to spin out of control at the cost of many lives. As quoted by BBC.com, US Health Secretary Alex Azar on Monday said that there was a failure by this organization to obtain the information that the world needed. Mr. Azar made the comments in an address to the UN's World Health Assembly. WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus earlier agreed to a review over the agency's handling of the pandemic. Dr. Tedros said, an independent evaluation which would look at what lessons could be learned and put forward any recommendations would take place at the earliest opportunity. The two-day assembly comes amid recriminations between the US and China over the virus. US biotech firm Moderna reported promising early results on Monday from the first clinical test of an experimental vaccine against the novel coronavirus, performed on a small number of volunteers. As quoted by AFP.com, the Cambridge, Massachusetts-based company said The vaccine candidate mRNA-1273 appeared to produce an immune response in 8 people who received it, similar to that seen in people convalescing from the virus. Moderna's chief medical officer Tal Zaks said this interim phase 1 data, while early demonstrate that vaccination with mRNA-1273 elicits an immune response of the magnitude caused by natural infection. This data substantiate their belief that mRNA-1273 has the potential to prevent COVID-19 disease and advance human ability to select a dose for pivotal trials. In a conference call, Moderna CEO Stephen Bancel said, "The preliminary test inspired confidence that mRNA-1273 has a high probability to provide protection against the virus." Health Secretary of the United Kingdom Matt Hancock tested for coronavirus. He was speaking in Parliament after the loss of taste or smell was added to the list of COVID-19 symptoms, alongside a fever and a new persistent cough. As quoted by BBC.com, Mr. Hancock said, the government was expanding eligibility for testing further than ever before. He added 100,678 tests had been conducted on Sunday. Testing in England and Scotland has been limited to people with symptoms who are key workers and their families, hospital patients, care home residents over 65, and those who need to leave home to work. In Wales and Northern Ireland, it was just key workers, hospital workers, and care home residents. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko emphasized that the government would encounter difficulties in countering the COVID-19 pandemic in the absence of active participation of the public. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Muldoko in his statement on Monday stated that without public participation, the government will face difficulties in the fight against the pandemic. The Presidential Chief of Staff commended the initiative to edify and encourage the people to become actively involved in the fight against COVID-19, including in the development of the 10 state houses application in several regions. He remarked, "Thanks God, the 10 safe houses program has been developed in some cities across the country. Each of them works in accordance with their respective capacity. The community-based 10 safe houses application was initiated by the Presidential Staff Office and developed in some regions." The last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo inspected the distribution to third phase of the food aid to beneficiary families in Johor Bahru and Yogyakarta. He wants to ensure the distribution of staple foods to the community, especially in Greater Jakarta. The president hopes that the assistance would be faster and smoother in future. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Reviving to Reactivate in the New Normal Era. While listener, President of Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, emphasized that there has not been a policy of easing the large-scale social restriction, or locally called PSBB. This affirmation became the first thing delivered by President Joko Widodo in a limited meeting through a video conference on the acceleration of handling the COVID-19 pandemic at the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. On the occasion, he said that what is being prepared is only a plan or a scenario. If the right time comes, the policy to ease the restriction will be implemented. The government cannot determine simply when the right time is. There are many stages that must be prepared so that the community is ready to in the social condition without restrictions. As expressed by Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Airlangga Hartarto, there are a number of aspects that must be considered before the community can later reactivate in a new normal era and relax the rules of the PSBB. One of them is the COVID-19 transmission rate in the community, or known as the reproduction rate. Like other countries, Indonesia wants to achieve condition with rate 0 below 1, which is when people can resume normal activities. Of course, with the new normal conditions, the community still pays attention to the health protocol to prevent the spread of the COVID-19. Minister Airlangga Hartarto also added that the Indonesian government would prepare a mechanism for similar scoring carried out, both with the rate zero-based epidemiological calculations and regional readiness. Regarding the readiness of the regions, this will be seen based on disease development, virus control, health capacity, public sector readiness, the level of public discipline and public response on how to work or socialize in the new normal era. Undeniably, all people have wanted to return to life in normal conditions. The regional governments hoped that the economy movement in the area can revive again to increase the local revenue, which has been dropped in the last few months. People who rely on their living from daily wages can return to work. Companies can also reopen their businesses. The community also hopes that the public facilities such as places of worship, education, transportation, and others will be reopened. However, this hope will remain a hope if all parties do not force their interests. Especially, they have to enhance awareness, habits, and discipline to live by paying attention to health protocols. Now it is the right momentum for Indonesian people to revive altogether by enhancing independence through maximal potential and creativity. Communities need to strengthen their self-discipline to live with new habits, such as always wearing masks, washing hands with soap, maintaining physical distance, and reducing social gatherings with many people, and reducing unnecessary activities outdoors. Offices and companies can also start implementing flexible work area policies. Good results achieved during period of the large-scale social restriction can be continued. The Indonesian people must rise together to win against COVID-19. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter. But if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
I'll begin today in history with May 19, 1962. 81 paramilitary troops deployed in the western region of the island of Papua. When declaring its independence on August 17, 1945, Indonesia claimed the entire territory of the Dutch East Indies, including the western region of the island of Papua. However, the Dutch refused to acknowledge it. At the end of 1961, President Sukarno formed Operation Trikora to liberate the western region of Papua, formerly called West Irian, from Dutch hands. On May 19, 1962, 81 paratroops were deployed in West Irian. After that, the Navy prepared Jayawijaya Operation, which is the largest amphibious operation in the history of Indonesian military operations. More than 100 warships and 16,000 troops were prepared for the operation. Eventually, West Irian became part of the Republic of Indonesia. I'll switch to May 19, 1993, Sam Columbia's plane crashes. Sam Columbia's Boeing 72746 flew from Panama to Bogota, Colombia on May 19, 1993. The plane carrying 125 passengers and 7 crew members stopped in the city of Medellin. When going to Bogota, the plane crashed into Mount Paramo Frontino. All passengers and crew died. I'll conclude today in the story with my 1991 referendum on Croatian independence. Croatia held an independence referendum on May 19, 1991 after the 1990 Croatian parliamentary elections and rising ethnic tensions that led to the dissolution of Yugoslavia. With a participation rate of 83%, voters approved the referendum, with 93% supporting independence. Furthermore, Croatia declared independence and termination of relations with Yugoslavia on June 25, 1991. In 1992, the European Economic Community countries gave diplomatic recognition to Croatia, and Croatia was accepted at the United Nations. Listener, that was today in history.
Hari-hariku bertambah, diriku pun tergoda. Hilang.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the topic today is Indonesia sends humanitarian assistance to Fiji. Indonesia has a good relations with the countries in the Pacific region. A lot of cooperation and technical assistance had been provided by Indonesia to the countries in the region. One of them is Fiji. More recently, Indonesia, through the Indonesian embassy in Suva, has submitted humanitarian assistance to Fiji after Cyclone Harold. As quoted on the website kemlu.co.id, the humanitarian aid within 13 tons was handed over by Indonesian ambassador to Fiji, concurrently Kiribati, Nauru, and Tuvalu, Benjamin Karnadi, to the Minister of Defense, and concurrently the head of Fiji's Disaster Mitigation Agency, Inia Suryoratu. The humanitarian assistance consisting of tents, food, and drinks were transported by the Air Force Hercules aircraft, which departed from Indonesia on Wednesday. After the handover, the aid will be distributed to the people of Kadafu Island, Fiji. During the handover of the aid, Ambassador Benjamin said that Indonesia was sorry for what happened to the people in Fiji. Indonesia hopes that this assistance can ease the burden of those affected by the Haral cyclone. Brutal transit between Indonesia and Fiji does not stop here, as we know that the COVID-19 pandemic affects all countries in the world. Fiji is no exception. This caused the Fiji government to close its airport until the end of May 2020. As a result, the repatriation of 39 Indonesian crew members is delayed. Hercules aircraft carrying the humanitarian aid to Fiji will return to Indonesia with the Indonesian crews. The humanitarian assistance and the return of Indonesian citizens are a commitment of the government of Indonesia and evidence of close friendship with Fiji. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Ternyata hati tak bisa berdusta, meski ku coba. Tetap tak bisa. Dulu cintaku banyak padamu, entah mengapa kini berkurang. Maaf ku jangan lupa padamu, lama sudah ku pendam. Indah, ku masih tetap saja.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know Popacho, a traditional cake from Ternate, North Maluku. Before COVID-19 pandemic hits the world and the government's appeal to stay home, Fola Jawa Beach in Ternate, North Maluku becomes the favorite place of local people to wait for break time of fasting by enjoying the beauty of the beach while looking for typical culinary for iftar. Various kinds of traditional foods and snacks can be found in this beach area. Typical dishes which become favorite and always hunted by local people for iftar is jahar rice, lalampa, and popacho. Popacho is one of favorite snacks or cakes of Ternate residents for iftar. This snack has sweet, sticky, and savory taste, so that it is suitable for iftar. This traditional cake is made of rice flour, which is steamed with palm sugar, pandanus leaf, and coconut milk. After cooked, the dough is poured into popacho bowl, which is made from banana leaf. Then the dough is poured with sauce which is made from coconut milk and maizena. This traditional cake can also be enjoyed with a cup of tea or coffee in the morning or evening in normal days outside the holy month of Ramadan. In Ternate, popacho also becomes favorite dish when people hold Thanksgiving or family's gathering. During Ramadan, there are many vendors sell popacho for iftar. The price is relatively cheap, around 2,500 rupiah until 5,000 per portion. Another favorite food for iftar in Ternate is jahar rice. The jahar rice is made from sticky rice and cooked in bamboo and filled with tuna. You can taste other delectable traditional foods when you visit Ternate, North Maluku, in your culinary tour during Ramadan. Hopefully, the COVID-19 pandemic ends immediately. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Oh.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a special segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is uang tunai atau kartu kredit, or in English, cash or credit card. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on uang tunai atau credit card, or in English, cash or credit card.
Apakah Bapak ingin membayar dengan uang tunai atau dengan kartu?
Dengan kartu kredit bisa.
Oh iya, bisa.
Ini kartunya?
Baik Pak, mohon tunggu sebentar.
Oke, Bu.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely uang tunai atau kartu kredit. Uang tunai atau kartu kredit, which means cash or credit card. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Kartu. Kartu, which means card. Kartu kredit. Kartu kredit, which means credit card. Uang tunai. Uang tunai, cash. Apakah Bapak ingin membayar dengan uang tunai atau dengan kartu? Apakah Bapak ingin membayar dengan uang tunai atau dengan kartu? Do you want to pay with cash or card? Dengan kartu kredit bisa. Dengan kartu kredit bisa. Is a credit card okay? Ini kartunya. Ini kartunya. Here is the card. Mohon tunggu sebentar. Mohon tunggu sebentar. Please wait a moment. In the conversation, you heard the receptionist asking about the method of payment. Apakah Bapak ingin membayar dengan uang tunai atau dengan kartu? Apakah Bapak ingin membayar dengan uang tunai atau dengan kartu? Which means, do you want to pay with cash or card? All you have to do is answer the payment option you want. For example, kartu. Kartu, which means card. Or, uang tunai. Uang tunai, which means cash. Besides that, you can also submit payment methods before being asked, such as, saya ingin membayar dengan uang tunai. Saya ingin membayar dengan uang tunai, which means I want to pay with cash. Or, saya ingin membayar dengan kartu kredit. Saya ingin membayar dengan kartu kredit, which means I want to pay with credit card. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the sample conversation once more.
Apakah Bapak ingin membayar dengan uang tunai atau dengan kartu?
Dengan kartu kredit bisa.
Oh iya, bisa.
Ini kartunya?
Baik Pak, mohon tunggu sebentar.
Oke, Bu.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian Better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Ku mencintainya tapi tak dicintai. Gerak tubuhnya seolah berkata tak cinta padaku dan tak suka padaku. Aku pun mulai berpikir ku sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup tahu tanda dalam diri. Tak usah ku deketimu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanda dalam diri. Tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Gerak tubuhnya seolah berkata tak cinta padaku dan tak suka padaku. Aku pun mulai berpikir ku sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup tahu tanda dalam diri. Tak usah ku deketimu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanda dalam diri. Tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanam dalam diri. Tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Cukup tahu tanam dalam diri. Tak usah ku deketimu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersamamu kasih. Cukup tahu tanam dalam diri. Tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersayang.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a mellow song entitled Kopi Pancong, sung by Iman Tirto. Composed by Hazairin Ahmad, the song Kopi Pancong consists of funny poems. The song has a simple lyrics and sung repeatedly. Even though the simple lyric, the song contains of messages for us to keep down to earth. And moreover, the song also has simply music so that can be remembered easily. The song Kopi Pancong is dedicated in Pontianak Malay language. The Malay Pontianak is a dialect of Malay language that is spoken in Pontianak and surrounding areas. The language is also influenced by Dayak language, the language of the local people. Listener, let's listen to the song Kopi Pancong sung by Iman Tirto. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.